Hi, this is Tony Robbins. I want to welcome you to our new journal system. I'm really excited for you to have this opportunity to use a tool that truly I found to be one of the most powerful tools in my life. That's a pretty big statement to make. But if I look at all the tools and strategies I've learned throughout the years, they're all invaluable, and I try to share as many as I can through all my products and services. But there's one constant that I use, no matter what the tool is, whether it was Gestalt therapy or neuroassociative conditioning or neurolinguistic programming or reading a book or attending a seminar, the tool I constantly use to capture it all is my journal. See, your journal is a tool to help you to clarify, to direct and shape your entire life. Because when you write things down, it causes your brain to have to focus. When things are happening in your life and you're starting to deal with things emotionally, it's really tough. One of the problems is our mind works so fast that we tend to run in circles. We tend to come up with one idea and another, and we bounce off of it, and we don't do it in a very organized way. And oftentimes, that creates a tremendous stress inside of us. What a journal does is slow the world down for a moment. It helps you to sit down and distill your experience of life. It helps you to kind of evaluate things differently. It helps you to capture things. And as you capture quality ideas and quality experiences, as you capture the challenges of your life and you put them on paper, it has a whole other impact. It's like having somebody else there who can now look at it because it's outside of you. I can go back and see how I thought, what my goals were, what my fears were, what was really going on in my life. And I can also see my growth. Because, you know, oftentimes you don't realize how much you've really grown because there's no way to really measure it. But if you read your journal, I guarantee you'll feel the growth you've had in your life. And I think a major reason for keeping a journal is just to understand that if your life is worth living, it's worth recording. See, if you keep a journal, you have a tool now to take stuff out of your head and be able to make your life work. You also have a tool to capture quality experiences. You also have a tool, though, to record your life. And that recording is something you can go back over and it'll enrich all of your memories. You know, oftentimes we leave out things in our life. We forget some of the most incredible experiences. We just get caught up in the moment, or we tend to focus on what's wrong in our life instead of all the richness we have. If you check in each day, or at least a couple times a week in your journal, you'll have a whole different feeling for your life, a whole different temperature, a whole different appreciation for who you're becoming as a human being. In addition, I think keeping a journal is invaluable because it's a record to leave your family, specifically your children. I mean, wouldn't it be valuable? Wouldn't you love to have known what was really going through your parents' head? Wouldn't you love to learn some of their life lessons without having to go through the pain yourself? See, when I pass away, my children will have my journals, and they'll be able to see my fears and my strengths. They'll be able to utilize all the wisdom I've been able to capture from others and from myself and put in my journals. Capturing an idea and cementing it with paper and pencil is something that will change your life. And I'll tell you another reason to write down the story of your life is it's fun. You know, being able to really look back on your life is an enjoyable process. I once heard it said that God created people because he loves stories. We all love stories. We all love to hear what's happened to somebody and some of the funniest times, some of the most embarrassing moments, right? Some of the most challenging times and how people turn them around, because stories help us to learn. Reading other people's stories helps us to learn from their experience. It inspires us. It challenges us to read them. And wouldn't it be nice to allow your own life story to be something that inspires you and challenges you and someday other people as well? I can tell you from my own journals, I have pulled more insight than any other book I've ever read. Because what your journal does is it allows you to have a mirror. It reflects back to your own life. It really gives you a chance to reveal the truth of who you are to yourself. And it helps you to really make measurable progress. You've got to take advantage of this. This is not something I hope you just got inspired about, you sent away for and said, it looks really good on my shelf. Look at these wonderful journals. What I hope you do is you're going to decide. Remember what the word decide means. To decide means to cut off any other possibility. Just to decide that you're going to keep journals for the rest of your life. It'll be a decision that you'll be thankful for when you're in your 80s in your rocking chair looking back on your life. Because you'll be able to remember the lessons of your life, the emotions of your life, with a level of depth that most people never dreamed of. And you'll be able to share them with precision. See, I can't say enough about journaling. I know I sound redundant, but you know, there's so many stories of your life, and you need to really learn to value your life enough to record it. You know, I have experiences that I'll never forget. The journal page that I wrote down when my son was born, or times when I really needed to clarify what was my most important value in making a decision, or days where I made declarations and I said, this is how my life's going to be, and I turned my whole life around. They're in my journals to the day. It's part of my life's history. And I want you to have this gift, but you got to give it to yourself and you got to do it consistently. And who knows someday how valuable that may be for others. You know, there's a little girl who found herself caught in the ravages of war of World War II. Her name was Anne Frank. And she wrote a little diary that to this day continues to touch people and has really become probably the most powerful chronicle of the Holocaust. Her perceptions, her sensitivity, her feeling, her fear, her anger, her love is continuing to touch people today. And who knows who'll be touched by your journal in some future day, in some future world. To keep a journal is to touch the future, something you might want to consider. So why to keep a journal is obvious. I could go on and on for hours about all the value that journals could have in your life. How to keep a journal is probably what we should talk about real briefly. And I want to be brief here because I don't want to just have you sit here and listen about journalizing. I want to get you writing. So I'd like to give you two distinctions and then give you 12 keys that'll maximize the impact that your journal can have on your life. The two distinctions are simple. Number one, make sure that you keep your journal notes in a hardbound journal, not a loose leaf journal, not on a yellow pad. Let me tell you why. Because if you have a little yellow pad or loose leaf journal, I guarantee those pages will get lost. They'll get torn out of the book. They will disappear. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll have your hardbound journal like a library. That book will be around 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now, as long as it's kept in even slightly decent condition. And I have got my journals. It's the favorite part of my library. It's where I can pull the most wisdom if I ever need it. Because in those journals is all the information and ideas that I've pulled from books and seminars I've attended and seminars I've done, interactions I've had with other people, insights that I've had in the middle of the night. It's all there. But it's got to be available, and it won't be available if it's on loose leaf pieces of paper. Get yourself a hardbound journal, whatever it takes, and make that the consistent way you journalize. Second distinction, make sure that you don't create too many rules for yourself in keeping your journal. In other words, be flexible. It's real important that you don't create 8 billion rules and all of a sudden you have to fit everything into this hardbound structure. The key to journaling is to have a lot of fun with it, to constantly come up with new ways and ideas, to just capture any old idea and put it down with pen and paper. That's the key. You can always go back in later and get it because it's there. And it's in the order that you thought of things because all you have to do is turn the pages. It's that simple. Even if you forgot to put the date, at least the idea is there. So make sure you don't create too many rules. Here, having said those two things, are 12 simple keys to keeping an effective journal, one that will maximize your impact. Number one, put it all down. What do I mean by this? I mean, put anything in your journal that has any worthiness at all. Anything that's even slightly noteworthy, put it in there. Ideas, events, quotes that you read, stories, drawings, doodles, dreams, to-do lists. Put it all in there. Anything at all that you can think of, anything you want to do, make this your notepad. What most people do is they get this wonderful journal, they look at it and go, well, I'll write all my notes in something else first. So therefore, it'll look better when I write it in my journal. Garbage. Your journal should reflect your current state. One of the values of writing in your journal versus, let's say, typing it even on your computer is you can see what kind of state you're in by the size of your writing, by the depth that you pushed on the page, by what you underline and scribble and so forth. You want to capture that emotion, so put everything down. See, the purpose of a journal is not to create something pretty. The purpose of the journal is to capture things, get them out of your head as quickly as possible where you can look at them again and pull additional value from them. If you look at my journal, people look at my journal and go, "What is this?" My journal is scribbled. I got things going in weird circles. I got things written on their side. I got things underlined real huge and small. And it might be a challenge for other people to read my journals later on, but they can figure it out. All I know is it works for me, and I can put everything in there. And I don't sit there and say, well, should I put this in my journal or should I not? Is this good enough to put in my journal? I put it all there. When in doubt, put it in. That's key number one. Key number two, consistency equals success. Hey, when it comes to keeping a journal, consistency is the key. See, what you want to do is develop the habit of really capturing your ideas on paper because otherwise it's too easy. You say, oh, you know, I don't want to take the time. And later on, you've missed out on so much value. You're not able to build on as much success as you've had in the past. See, the more often you put things down, the more often you evaluate your life, the more progress you make. You know, one of the most important tenets I've learned to a successful life is the more you measure something, the better it gets. And I've talked about in many of my power talks about a concept I call the New Year's syndrome. What the New Year's syndrome is that most people in life work on their life like once a year. Around New Year's, they sit down and set a bunch of goals. But guess when they check in? Next New Year's. See, if you check in once a year, you're going to have some bad years. because you're not going to have a way to really measure your progress. You're not going to have chances to intervene. See, if you check in once a month, you're not going to have bad years. The worst you'll have is bad months because you'll catch it, you'll see what's going on, you'll learn something from it and move on. You check in once a week, the worst you'll have is a bad week. You check in once a day, the worst you have is a bad day. And if you check in more than once a day on almost anything, you're not even going to have bad days because you've got too many chances to make it better. Keeping a journal makes you stop. It takes you out of the flow and the current of your life where you're starting to get caught up and gives you some perspective. So you want to do it on an ongoing basis. Now, truthfully, I don't do it every day, but I can guarantee you I'm doing it all the time. I'm doing it consistently. And there are spurts where I do it every single day, but I don't have to. Again, I don't want to make rules that make my journal something I don't enjoy. But for the most part, I try every day to at least put down two or three great things that have happened that day that I could utilize. If you just did that for a month, you got 100 great things that happened to you in that month. And what I do is then I compile these at the end of the year, and I feel like my years have been the most incredible years you can ever imagine. It's now December, and I've already done it. I decided to do it early because it's so much fun. I'm going to have to do it again and add December's list. So much has happened. But you know what? It could have happened, and I would have forgotten it because there was so much if I hadn't kept a journal. So make sure you do it consistently. Taking time for your journal is not time you've lost. It's time you've invested in your own life. Here's point number three. Use it to design your life. See, journals offer you an opportunity to capture things like your goals. And the more you use your journal, the more you're apt to write down your goals. See, writing goals down, as most people know, is one of the most important and simple things you can do with your goals. Because when you start to write them down, you start to crystallize them. And remember, clarity is power. The clearer you are on what it is you want, the more effective you'll be in activating yourself to take action and make it real. The other thing I encourage people to do in designing their life and their journal is to begin to design their values. And again, that's why we have everybody in Date with Destiny put their values in their journal, because you get a chance to see how you've evolved and how you've changed. See, it's real tough to figure out what's most important in your life just by asking the question inside your head. You got to write down what's most important in my life and write down the things like love and health and vitality and honesty and integrity, and write them down and figure out what's more important. Trying to do things like that in your head, you can forget it. So the third way to use your journal, use it as a textbook for your life where you can really design and shape your focus and your vision for your future and how you're dealing with your present. The fourth major key to maximizing the use of your journal is to use it to record what I call distinctions of power. Distinctions of power to me are any ideas or concepts or quotes or strategies, anything you've learned from anywhere that can empower you. You might get this from books. You might get this from tapes. You know, I write in my journal after every movie I see because I sit down and say, how can I use this? What's valuable in this movie for my life or for somebody else? How can I share an element of this movie in a way to help someone else? And you know what? If you keep asking those questions, you get answers, but you'll forget them. If you write them in your journal, later on, you'll review it. When you review it, it'll increase your memory and your utilization of what you've learned. Remember, repetition is the mother of skill. If you've got it in your journal, you can repeat those ideas. You won't have ideas escape you. Haven't you ever been in a conversation, for example, where you're like really into it and like this great idea comes through you and you go, oh, that's great. And then like 5 minutes later, you can't remember what it is you said. Well, gosh, with a journal, you won't have that problem. You'll be able to capture that idea for eternity. Put it down with pen and paper. The fifth key is to use your journal to capture your emotions. See, you want to capture the emotional events of your life, both the challenging times and the outrageous times. Times when you're down and times when you're vital. Little times and big times. Maybe you want to write in your journal about this stranger you smiled at and how it seemed to affect him that day. Or the day you went out on Thanksgiving and you fed everybody and what it did and how it made you feel and how it made you think about life and people and destiny. If you record these experiences, you'll be able to relive them and enjoy them again and again. See, I have so many peak moments in mind. The day I flew my helicopter for the first time on my own, my first solo. You know, the day that I finished my first book, you know, I came out on the stands and the impact. The first time my youngest son came to me and asked me some questions I didn't have answers to and how I dealt with that. I have so many great experiences like that. And you have all those too. But you know, the problem is we're all experts at remembering the bad times and not really usually good at remembering some of the good times. So it's really important that we capture those good times so we put perspective on our life so that we don't throw our pendulum and get caught up by the moment. If I ever feel overwhelmed, I just pull open my journal and read 5 years ago what I was dealing with in my life back then. And all of a sudden, my life seems so good all over again. So capture your emotions. Capture the emotional events of your life in your journal. Here's a sixth way you can use your journal. Use it to solve problems. It's so much easier to deal with a problem with paper and pencil than it is inside your head. I've already alluded to it, but I just got to remind you. You know, it's so easy to get overwhelmed by something when you're trying to deal with it in your head. When you write it down on a piece of paper, some of these big problems seem pretty darn small. Or at the very minimum, once you've written down the problem, it's like it's out of your system. Now you can afford to focus on the solution and just brainstorm tons of solutions without evaluating do they work or not. See, the formula I teach people to use in solving problems is real simple. Spend 10% of your time defining the problem and 90% of your time focusing on the solution. What do most people do? You and I both know most people do the direct opposite, don't they? They spend 90% of the time on the problem and maybe 10% of the time on the solution, and they run that through their head a few times and they never take any action. Plus, think about this. Writing something down with paper and pencil is putting you in the action mode. You're no longer just feeling the problem out. You're doing something towards the solution of that problem. In other words, the actual process of writing down the problem and solutions on paper is an action towards solving the problem. And it makes you feel better about yourself. It immediately takes you out of overwhelm. Many of you who followed other elements of my work know the story of what happened to me in my business. I had a gentleman who was working with me who embezzled $250,000 and ran my company $758,000 in debt. I'll tell you how I turned that around, not by sitting in my head and going, oh my gosh, there must be a way to turn this around. I did it by taking out my pen and my journal. And I sat down there and I wrote, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I use this? How can I make this work? How can I turn this around? I started brainstorming like crazy. And as I asked those questions, I came up with answers. And many of those answers turned out to be the critical distinctions I needed to take my business and not just turn it around, but I learned to ask even better questions. Like, how can I take my company to a whole new level? Instead of doing it in my head, I did it with pen and paper. And I can go back to this day and see I came up with answers in those days that have made my business turn completely around. That's pretty exciting. And what those dollars represent is growth. They represent my becoming more creative and finding new ways to add value to millions of other people, literally. All that happened because I asked questions, because I solved problems in my journal, not just in my head. I can't stress enough how powerful this can be. And number 7, it may sound redundant, but it's a little different. And that is the 7th way to use your journal is to ask yourself questions, questions that empower you. And I don't just mean problems now. I mean questions like, what's most important in my life? Maybe you're not having any problems. But questions that get you focused on the true value of your life and your thinking. Questions like, how can I empower the people around me? Questions like, how come human beings respond so negatively to such little things in their life? See, as you ask questions like this, you'll come up with new answers. Other questions you could ask are questions like, what do I really want out of this situation? Or what is this time in my life really about? Or what can I learn from this? What's the most empowering lesson I can take from all this? If you ask yourself questions in your head, you get distracted. But if you ask them on paper, you keep coming back to what's sitting there in front of you. And you write down the answers, you'll come up with some solutions that move you in a direction of greater richness and joy in your life. The 8th major way to utilize your journal is to use it to make declarations. What is a declaration? A declaration is when you get to an emotional point where you've decided to make a change and you're not backing out. If you go through my journals, you'll see month by month various types of declarations, and some have changed my life. I remember rereading one of my journals not long ago, and it was the journal I wrote in the day I graduated from high school. My class graduation ceremony was in June, and I actually left school in December. I graduated early, but I wanted to go through the ceremony. And so I came back, and I sat there in the chair with my cap and gown, and I looked around at everybody being so excited about graduating from high school, and it made me upset. And I sat there and realized, here I am sitting around talking with other people about stupid things, about things that really don't matter. And I thought to myself, you know, I feel like I'm being really average. I don't want to be average. And that day I made a declaration. I wrote in my book, I will never be one of the many again. I'm going to make sure that in my life I learn and grow and expand to a point that I can make a difference, that I'm not just one of the many, but that I really have done something unique in my life that made this life worth living. And that declaration has shaped a lot of how I've thought, a lot of the directions in my life, probably one of the reasons I'm talking with you today. I made another declaration years ago that's in my journals, and it was the day when I finally had it with myself. It was the day when all of a sudden I wrote in my journal, I am more than I'm demonstrating right now. I'm going to change it all, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, in my relationships. I'm going to lose 30 pounds in the next 30 days. And you know what? I did. It wasn't just because I wrote it in my journal, but writing in my journal made it real. It made it focused. It brought things to life. So use your journal as a way to make declarations, because as you review them, if you see declarations you didn't follow up on, you're going to feel a little pain. And that pain's good sometimes, huh? It'll move you to some action. Here's number 9. Learn from the past through your journals, because if you don't, you're going to relive it. See, your journals can offer you some lessons. And if you write them down, you're going to remember the lessons a lot easier, again, than if you keep them in your head. I know this sounds redundant, but we always come back to the same organizing principle here, don't we? And that is, the more we pay attention to something, the more we can utilize it. And writing it down just makes us pay more attention to it. So make sure that you learn from the past by recording it and then reviewing it in your journal. So how could you review it? Well, several ways. Number one, I always review my journals at least once a month. Even if I only wrote a little bit that month, go back through the month and quickly review over the month what actually occurred. What were the challenging times? What were the good times? What did you learn? What did you find? What did you discover? And I'll tell you what, going back over it drives the grooves deeper and your memory becomes much stronger and your chances of using it go through the roof. I also look through my journals usually about every 6 months. Or I go through 6 months with the journals, and at the very minimum, you want to do it at least once a year. Go through all your journals for a whole year and just take a little bit of time a few days before the beginning of the year. That's traditionally when I do it. And I also, once a decade, do it now. When I turn 30, I turn back over the last 10 years of my journals. You talk about an eye-opening experience. You talk about putting your life in perspective. It was absolutely amazing. I noticed a journal that I had 12 years ago where I was writing about my working in this bank. I was so excited. I got a job working inside a bank as a janitor. And I was excited because I could work as a janitor and I could do it my own hours after school, and I could drive my little 1960 Volkswagen that was barely holding together down to Glendale, California for 35 minutes so I could make $4.25 an hour. And if I worked faster, I could make it up to $5 an hour because they paid me a flat fee. I was so jazzed. And then I looked at the journal I'd written only a month or two before where I talked about a flight I made in my jet helicopter. And here I was enjoying the flight so much, and I flew over Glendale, California, and looked down and saw a bank I used to work in. Boy, you talk about some perspective. Just reminded me again that simple idea that most people overestimate what can be done in a year and underestimate what can be done in a decade. See, if you look back over your journals, you'll get that sense of growth. And the other thing is, you want to index your journals, ideally. So I don't do this each month, but I usually do it about once a year. I'll go through and I'll just get myself some of those stick-on tabs, and I'll put in some of the most major events there so I can go back through my journals and get to a key idea right away. And sometimes what I also do is create like a table of contents, number my pages, and put the events there. It makes the information more available to you again in the future. Here's point 10 of the 12. Use your journal as a tool for deepening your experiences. Think of this metaphorically. If you take a photograph of your life and you go to a developing lab and you stick it in there only for a moment or two, you're not going to get the same richness of color and design and distinction as you leave it in long enough to fully develop. And when you write something down, what it does is it causes you to more fully develop your own experience, to cause you to really think more about it, to take more of a sense of meaning from that experience. Maybe look at it from another perspective rather than just the one you made in the instant that you took a look at that idea or that situation of your life. So I think personally that if we want to experience more of our life, we're not going to remember most of our life when we come to the end of it. But we'll remember certain moments because they've added so much richness to us. And the way we can have more of those memories, more of those moments, I think, is to record them in our journal and to really capture more of them, be able to describe them even to ourselves with more depth. That's something your journal can also help you to do. And here are the last two simple points I'd like to offer you on keeping a journal. Point 11 is this. Use your journal as a way to measure your progress. Hey, do you have any kids? I don't know about you, but with my kids, they're growing. But you know what? I don't notice how fast they're growing compared to strangers or other family members who haven't seen them for a while. I'll never forget one time one of my friends came by and said, you know, your son Jarek is growing like a weed. And I looked down and said, is he really? It's pretty hard to tell when you're that close to someone, when you're that close to the situation. And if it's hard for us to measure our kids' physical growth, you can imagine how hard it is to measure our own spiritual growth or emotional growth or growth in confidence. It's hard to do because we're caught up in the experience. But I'll tell you what, if you write down these experiences in your journal and you look back at them, you'll be able to see the progress and give yourself a fair view of who you are. One of the things I have people do, for example, in Date with Destiny is I have them write down in the journal where they were 5 years ago in a variety of categories. Like, what were you like emotionally 5 years ago? And I have them write down a sentence or two and give themselves a score, like on a scale from 0 to 10. What were you like physically? What were you like in terms of your relationships? Did you have children? What was your home environment like? Give yourself a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being absolutely what you want, 0 being terrible, the worst you could even imagine. and then describe it in details. And so I have them do this in all these different categories, and we add a bunch more. Then I say, describe where you are in each one of these categories today and give yourself a score. And you know what happens? People get a perspective and they say, you know what? Things are not that bad today. Or things are even better than I thought they were today. Or sometimes people say, you know what? I'm worse off in some of these categories today than I was 5 years ago. And that pain motivates them to make a change. See, that's what journals offer you, a way to measure progress. And lastly, number 12, make sure you enjoy the process of using your journal. Don't make this something that's a negative for you. Some of you say, oh my gosh, I got to do this again. Don't make it a chore. Make it a joy. And the way to make it a joy is to make it so that you can do it anytime you want, anywhere you want. All it requires is the habit of taking your journal with you. When you go on a trip, when you travel, when you're on the airplane, you know, when you go to work, have your journal nearby. Instead of just going and reaching for a cigarette or for some food, reach for your journal and you'll get some real substance for your life, because you'll be giving yourself a gift, the gift of understanding who you are and what you're about, the gift of clarification, the gift of remembrance, the gift of creation. See, journals offer you an unlimited future, an unlimited way to get more out of living, but you just got to develop the simple habit of doing it. Make it a habit to track your wins, your losses, your thoughts, your ideas, your emotions, your goals, your values, everything. And I look forward to hearing from you personally. I hope you'll jot me a note about how keeping a journal has really enriched your experience of your daily life. Remember, a life worth living is worth recording. So have fun with your journals. Get started right now. Until I talk with you again, remember to live with passion.